This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. I think fall has, I've said this before on Saturday, but now I'm convinced fall really is here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can feel the briskness in the morning. You can feel the change of the wind coming out of the north now instead of the south. It's Halloween weekend, and so it's we're in full force as far as fall. So if you're not ready for fall at this point, there's no turning back.
That's right. And, you know, those cold nights now, you can really tell it's fall and that winter's coming quick.
Yes. Yes. Winter is coming quick. I've already started to see
it.
Literally, I think it was on Wednesday night, was driving back and I saw the first Christmas tree in a window.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. Nope.
Christmas trees in October?
Yep.
Well, everybody's getting ready, aren't they? I mean, they are ready for Christmas, sounds like. I mean, yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, I was driving by, and I had to do a double take. I said, wait a minute, that's a Christmas tree inside their window. And yeah, it was. It was pretty,
oh, my gosh.
Pretty white lights on it, but yeah.
Well, I'm fixing to have 1st of November. I'm having my lights put up, but, you know, I did not know what a big business putting up Christmas lights is. It's the biggest business for this time of year. There must be 30 people locally that are putting up Christmas lights. I talked to one guy to get a bid, and he said, I am full till January.
What? Really?
And this is October. Yeah, they're already booked. One guy told me he had 30 houses to do already.
Wow. Man.
And so I started investigating. I found out it's a huge, huge business. And they charge minimum $500 to $2,000.
You got to be kidding me.
No, it's $500 to $2,000. And what they do, they come and measure your house.
Really?
It's like by the foot. And would you believe that?
Wow.
Yes.
Man.
And then they look to see if it's a two-story house, how many gables you've got, the whole deal.
Jeez.
And then they always say, we'd rather use our lights. That's a code word for we will charge you for the lights, and it's going to be a lot of money, folks. That's right. It's going to cost you a lot when they say, we'd rather use our lights. It's a code word. Oh, my gosh. All these people do this. I mean, some of them are firemen, and that's how they make extra money. They have a team that they work with year after year at the firehouse, and they hire the other guys to work with them, and they do, oh, my gosh, they must do 100 or 150 houses.
Wow.
I talked to another guy. He owns a roofing company. He's been in business 27 years, and yet at Christmas he does all these lights. So it is a big, big business.
How long does it take him
Everybody
to put them
Everybody wants
up?
Their lights several hours.
I bet.
Yes,
wow.
Several hours.
Man.
Yes.
So are you going with their lights or your lights?
My lights.
They didn't get you then.
No, they didn't, because I knew the story. And I knew, you know, I had bought mine several years ago. They're good lights. We're using mine. We're not falling for that trick. Yeah. We'd feel better if you used our lights. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, you're talking probably $500 in lights.
Oh.
Yeah, $500 or $600. And so people that fall for that, Oh, and then they want to keep the lights. That way you'll have to use that same company every year. There's so many things that people don't know about it. You know, I have mine stored. I take them out, you know, and we use them. I do not let anybody store my lights.
Wow. So
yeah, they all want to store your lights at their place.
Jeez. So even if you use their lights, you're essentially just renting the lights, and then you have to re-rent them again the following year.
That's kind of like it is, because if you use let them buy the lights for you, then they want to store them for you also.
Well, that's convenient.
So it is convenient for them, because they know every year you're going to use them to do your lights.
Wow.
People haven't thought of this thing through.
That's how they get you.
And that's it. And they have the big ladders. So they're saying to you, a homeowner, you don't want to do your own lights. We have the equipment. We have the ladders. We have the men. We're professional. We've done it more than once. And let us just come and do it for you.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yes, they'll do your barn or your fence or, you know, whatever you want done.
Wow. Are you doing the barn and everything?
No, I'm doing the fence, the gate, the gazebo, and the house.
Neat.
Yeah. I always do the gazebo because it really shows up nice. The lights show up.
I bet it does. I bet that looks really pretty from the street.
Now, let me tell you what I bought this year. I bought an inflatable Santa. He's 25 foot tall.
Oh, wow.
I thought that would show up rather nice. What do you think?
Yeah, it would show up nice from space.
Can you imagine the little kids when they see this 25 foot Santa
wow.
I bought? Oh, my gosh. But it'll be fun. We've just got to tether him down where he won't blow off.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he could go to the moon or somewhere. You know, we're on a hill and it's windy. I mean, you know, he's got to be really tethered down.
Yeah. Geez, you get a good windstorm, and if he's not, you know, nice and secure, he may be over in the neighbor's yard.
I think he'd go farther than that. I mean, him being a balloon, I mean, you know.
25
feet.
It
might be several. Yeah, it's 25 foot tall.
Where in the world did you even find that?
I found it online. I saw this deal, you know. I was watching something about the stock market this week, and there was this little ad, you know, for this huge Santa. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I need that.
You got the Christmas bug, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, after the bad year we've had with this virus and not getting to go anywhere, not getting to do anything, I think we should all go all out, you know, decorate the house, have the best decorations in the neighborhood, and just go all out and have some fun with it.
I know, right? It's hard to believe that we're even at that time. It's hard to believe that Halloween is tomorrow, and then Monday is November already. It's just, what happened to this year? It's like, man, flew by.
Yeah, the year has just flown by. It just, everything's happening so quick. Here we are, almost the end of the year, and we were talking about this 2 or 3 months ago. You know,
yeah.
About, you know, when Halloween was coming, when Thanksgiving was coming, and Christmas, and it's upon us.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, here we are already. And so, you know, since you're already kind of like looking at Christmas stuff, are they getting back to regular things for Christmas? I know last year, like with pageants and stuff like that, things were a little bit different. Any word on those?
I think it's still going to be really different because a lot of the things are short supply. A lot of things are not even available. You can order stuff, and it may or may not ship. So you better start early. I have never started early, but now that they're saying shipping is going to be a problem because they may not even have the things you're ordering. You know, they advertised them. Everybody thought they'd have them, but we've got all these containers, you know, they're stuck in, at the ports, and so they don't know what they'll have.
Yeah.
If it's not already here, I don't know. I was in Lowe's yesterday. Now, Lowe's has got everything that you ever thought of and more. I mean, their shelves are stocked to the ceiling. I've never seen Lowe's with that much merchandise.
Oh,
so they must have thought this out way early, because that anybody that needs anything for Christmas at Lowe's, it's there.
Oh, wow.
It's not like everybody else with empty shelves.
Yeah. Yeah, like at the grocery store for, like, empty shelves and stuff?
Yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things they're just not getting. And when you order groceries, you may or may not get what you ordered.
Yes, that's getting even, like, one of those things where it's like, man, we ordered, like, I don't know, 20 things, and you may only get 12. It's like, really in short demand on supply on some things.
And, you know, they talk about how much food has gone up. I can tell you how much it's gone up. A pound of bacon is now $9 and $10.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
You can get the Kroger brand is a lot less. But I know when I looked at it this week, there was some for $7 and some for $9.
Oh,
for a pound
man.
Of bacon.
Wow.
So that's how much everything has gone up. There was a small retailer up north, and they opened in May, I believe it was. And it was their lifelong dream. They husband and wife took their money and put it in a toy store. And they said they were buying merchandise like for $4 or $5. It went up three times, and they're having to close their store.
Oh.
They said toys that they started at $4 are now $12. And they
wow.
said there's no profit left. And so their dream has just gone down the drain because the supplies are so expensive, you
Man.
Know, that they just can't make it work. And so small businesses, I'm thinking, may really be hurting with the prices just going through the roof.
Wow, that's a shame. And then on top of that, you see all the people that are on strike now, and then more are threatening to go on strike. And you know, that's going to have an effect on prices as well.
I was talking to a gentleman the other day that has a landscape company, and he said, I just don't have any help. And he said he was interviewing a guy for a job, and the guy said, well, I charge $400 a day.
Oh.
And he said, not at my place, you don't. Oh, my gosh, yeah. They were telling him they wanted all these huge amount of monies just to mow lawns.
Wow. Man.
So, you know, things are getting expensive, which is, you know, right here at Christmas, it is tough. But thank goodness everybody won't need their lawns mowed till next year.
Yeah. Give you a little bit of, you know, little bit of a cushion, I guess, until we have to deal with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they'll
again.
Have a little, yeah. So salaries are up. Everything seems to be up.
Yeah. Workforce is down. Prices
yes,
are up.
Really down.
Man, let's get into that here for a minute. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what do you think all this means as we go into, you know, like not only just the holidays, but really into the next year? I saw one prediction that said the inflation situation may stay this way for the next at least 12 months. So it doesn't look like it's a temporary thing. It may be here for a while. What does all this mean for people when you put all these things together, the strikes, the workforce, the prices, the supply, you know, chain distributions being disrupted, you know, the things that are going on with all the chips in like the auto industry? And what does all this mean? You know, and then you throw in bare shelves on top of it. What does this mean for like the whole landscape of what we're looking at? What do you see happening, you know, the next month or two or three down the road?
Well, I think it's all going to depend on what happens in Congress.
Mm.
You know, I'm scared to death about what they're proposing and what they want to do to us, because this is going to really mess things up in America. I think it's going to mess us up for years to come. If they get all this passed, I just don't know what will happen to the workforce. If you're given everything, you don't have to work, you know. If somebody's handing you $10 every day, you know, why should you go to work, you know?
Yeah.
Most of us believe in work ethic. I know Texas especially, you know, is a big work state. You know, we don't have unions hardly here. and that helps a lot. But, you know, I saw the a fast food chain the other day. The employees are so dumb, they were trying to unionize. But they don't realize, once you unionize, you're not going to make more. They're going to take all the union dues. They're going to make you have their health insurance, their retirement. And the time they take all those fees, you're going to be making less.
Yeah.
But people don't realize that. They're always looking for that silver lining. You know, that they're going to get more by forcing the employer to let you unionize. And, you know, here in Texas, this is a right-to-work state. And look at how much people make here versus what they do up north. It makes a big difference.
It really does. And I saw, I think it was the Kellogg's strike. I think it's in Pennsylvania, I think. But I believe it was the other day. I want to say it was the labor secretary that actually went down and stood on the picket lines with the people that were on strike for the Kellogg's situation, and that has never happened before. It's happened, I think, twice this week, where people went down and actually like were supporting the people that were striking. And so there's some very different, strange things that are happening just all across the board, and things that have never happened before. It almost seems like we've got like the perfect storm right in front of us. I think we do. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know how everything's going to pan out, but they want to even tax your capital gains that are unrealized. You know, you haven't sold this asset, so there's no capital gains due. You don't owe it till you sell it. And they're saying that they want to tax it even though we haven't sold the asset. Now, you think that won't create havoc in America?
Really? I hadn't even heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Unrealized gains. So you've got capital gains, and you don't pay capital gains till you sell it. And they're saying that they want to target your capital gains, unrealized gains. You haven't even realized it yet, and they want to tax it. So, I mean, Lord, this could cause some serious problems in our country. So we've got to really hope for the best, keep our fingers crossed that somebody smart will intervene and stop all this foolishness, you know, that we don't need.
What does all this do to consumer confidence? Not only between like consumers, but on the stock market as well.
Well, the stock market has gone up and then it's fallen. I think a couple of days ago it fell 100 points. And so it's up and down. You know, it can't make up its mind. And a lot of people say that, you know, that it's not going to work, that the stock market is going to have a big problem. And there was 3 reports on that this week from Yahoo. I was over in Yahoo reading these reports on these 3 big-time investors that were saying, you know, we're fixing to have a big pitfall over this. So I don't know what will happen. But they reminded us of 1929.
Ooh.
I mean, when they go back that far and the big boys say, do y'all remember what happened in 29 and it happened overnight?
Ooh, so
and they reminded us of that it can happen. And, you know, in 10, when that happened, in 8, you know, it was very little notice. You know, everybody was just up in the clouds. The stock market was doing so good. And then we had the crash. And, you know, none of us are old enough to remember 29, but we've read about it all of our life.
Yeah.
You know. And you know who bailed the banks out? It was the insurance companies. They were solvent, and they bailed people out. They made the loans. They helped a lot of people. And I think, again, the insurance companies have got so much money, and thank goodness they're not under the Federal Reserve.
I didn't realize that insurance companies bailed them out in 29.
They did, if you'll go back and read it.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. The insurance companies had money. Remember, they were collecting by the week. American National was the big one on that weekly money. They would come and collect a dollar or 25 cents for your premium. and they did that all those years. It was years and years before American National ever had people that didn't go by and collect.
Wow.
They were one of the few insurance companies that did that. They would collect by the week, especially in up north and all those kind of places, you know, where you had apartments, you had people living close together. They had a man on the beat, walking that beat, collecting that premium.
Wow. Geez,
yeah.
I don't know why I didn't know that. I don't know, maybe everybody else does. I don't know, but it just kind of goes to show that, you know, you've been talking for a long time about, like, when, as far as investments go, that's one of the big things that you always talk about with life settlements, is that life insurance companies, they've got the reserves on hand. They have the cash just in case. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've said before that if every single policy came due all on the same day, they would have enough to go ahead and pay every single policy. Am I saying that wrong?
They have to keep reserves for each and every policy. In other words, you can't do like a bank and just have, you know, you have got your deposits and all this, and they don't have to put up hardly anything against that. But an insurance company, because they're writing life insurance policies and annuities, they have to be able to pay off. So they're audited federally and state every year. And those auditors check them. If they don't think they've got up enough reserves, they'll make you put up more reserves.
Wow.
They'll say, okay, now your reserves are not sufficient. You need to put up another $1 billion or, you know, $500 million, whatever it could be. And they can make you do it overnight.
Wow.
And all of our life insurance companies are so huge. They have so many reserves. I would rather rely on them, I think, than the banking system.
Yeah, because the bottom could fall out in a bank, because when you put in, say you put $100 in the bank, that $100 doesn't sit in a vault someplace. That ends up going into somebody else's loan or somebody else's. So it's not actually.
That's right. They loan that money out. Yes.
Yeah.
There's very little cash left there at the bank because they are loaning that money out overnight.
It's all just numbers on a spreadsheet, no actual hard cash. Wow.
Yeah. So it makes a big difference. And as I said, in 29, the insurance companies were bailing people out, the banks. And, you know, there was a run on the banks. The stock market crashed. And these people were talking about this week, said, do you remember the crash of 29? And that got my attention. I said, wow, if we need to think about that, you know, they're telling us to be careful.
Yeah,
they're telling us to be careful.
You know, when you say that there's a run at the bank, it kind of reminds me we're getting to that time of year where we're going to watch, you know, Christmas movies like It's a Wonderful Life. I get that vision in my head when George Bailey's going on his honeymoon and there's a run at the bank and everybody's there and he's offering, you know, what's his name across town is offering 50 cents on the dollar, and it's like people are drawing it out. It's like even though we weren't in 29, we weren't around for it. We have visuals of that, and man, that is a scary thing to know that they're actually comparing it now to not just you know, like the one that was at 60 something and then 2008. They're not comparing it to any of these. They're going for the big one.
They reminded us of the very big one, and these were three billionaires that were talking this week and said, do you remember 29? And all three of them said, be very, very cautious right now. And the one said, I've taken every dime out of the stock market. I'm all in for cash.
Wow.
So if billionaires are saying, you know, we're in cash right now, we're not in all these things.
So a lot of people will take that lead. And if that happens in mass quantities, if people draw out everything from the stock market, what does that do? Does that set up a crash just in itself? Or would there be some kind of a different?
It's like if everybody took their fund money out of a mutual fund, it would crash, you know, because, and a lot of them, it's, you can't always get it out right away. So you never know if you're going to be able to draw it out or not, because a lot of them have invested it in different things in these mutual funds. So it's not cash sitting there in your mutual fund.
Mm.
That's not cash. So it's fully invested. And lots of times, you know, if anything goes wrong, you have to wait. You can't just say, okay, today I'll take money out.
Wow.
And then sometimes it is in cash. A person needs to know what their money's in at the market. You know, am I in 30-year bonds? Am I in REITs that's 30 years? Am I in short term? You know, where if I had an emergency, like if everything looked bad in the economy, could I get it back out? And a lot of people don't pay any attention once they put it in. This guy's told him he's going to make him $1 trillion, which he might. And then you go home and you forget about it. And so you don't know what they've invested in, really. You're believing in them. You're believing this person is going to make you a lot of money and that you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, they kind of set it and forget it, and forgetting it may not be the best option. You really can't afford to forget it in those types of situations. But man, I know, you know, in recent weeks and months, you've kind of said that, you know, some people may be, you know, anticipating there may be some kind of event as we get towards the end of the year. It sort of kind of sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like we might be actually like approaching that quickly. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen, but it seems like it's getting a little bit more real every time we talk. Is that about right?
Well, I know that I would not be in the stock market, but that's just me. You know, I don't want to take the risk. I don't want someone else maybe asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. You know?
Because they're in dreamland. They're not, you know, in the real world, as I call it.
Yeah.
Sometimes people, you know, are so busy up there in New York and all these places, you know, they're doing their own investing on their own dime. And sometimes, you know, they let things elapse. They let things not be exactly like they should be.
Hmm. And this is probably not a good time to let too much go unchecked. Because people may get hit with a surprise and not the kind of good surprise that we like at the holidays.
That's right. It might not be what they're looking for, let me tell you. But I know that if all this passes, I think it's going to be a whole different way of life.
Yeah.
It's not going to be what we would want. And I don't think anybody wants the things that are coming. You know, they want to change our life completely. And I think that will have a huge impact on the stock market, on the way we do business, everything for years to come.
I know you don't like to, you know, panic people and make people, you know,
no,
unnecessarily, you know, do anything like that. And that's not the intent. It's just, you know, this is kind of serious. You know, you look at the everything that's going on in the landscape of really all these different assets of things that are going on, and they all kind of come together, and it really paints a picture that it might be time for a lot of people, and I think they are, to really kind of reassess in case something happens. And you know, I know you always say, you know, you never tell people to, you know, get out completely of the stock market. It's all up to them and whatever they want to do, and that's totally fine. But I do think that, you know, it makes a lot of sense anyway that people would maybe start to reassess things and maybe start to look for options that might be a little bit more conservative. And maybe, you know, in case something does happen, they could get in some kind of a life settlement type of thing, where if something does happen, they have a much better chance of weathering the storm, I think.
I would say they need to be diversified right now. I would certainly diversify. I would have something in life settlements that you know is not going anywhere. You know your principal is strong, your interest is strong. You know that you can always get paid by the insurance company. We're relying on life insurance companies. I just think I would be diversified. I would make sure I had some and maybe life settlements or annuities even, instead of all in the stock market. I wouldn't be all in. I think that's silly right now. With everything so uncertain, and everything is very uncertain.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but from what I think, you know, knowing how, you know, things that you've talked about over the last several years, people, you're not necessarily saying take everything out of the stock market. It's just look at other options, you know, maybe see, you know, kind of get, I guess, like you say, diversified a little here, a little there, kind of assess your own risk and how much you, you know, feel like maybe you could afford to lose if something were to happen. But I mean, you know, it could happen on any random Thursday on a in August. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, this. It could happen at any time. And you kind of, it sounds like the same advice now as you would give, you know, say, you know, 2 years ago or something like that. It really, the advice hasn't changed. The diversifiedness, you know, the wanting to be a little bit conservative with some of your investments. It sounds like the same advice now. It doesn't sound like, you know, because conditions are changing or people are warning about anything or there may be something that's happening. It sounds like you're still staying solid with the same advice. Just be diversified and just kind of, you know, be conservative when you can and take whatever risks you can afford to maybe lose. Is that, it seems like
that's
it's
right. If you can afford to lose, then you don't have anything to worry about. All you right. just go right on. But I say be diversified. Even with us, we're diversified. We're not going to put all your money in one policy. And remember, every policy is with a different life insurance company. So you're really diversified the way we do it. So I think that is really a huge thing, that you're in a lot of different policies. We're not letting you put all your money in one policy.
It's really shocking to me. I don't know why. I guess it just kind of hit home. You know, when you said that in 29, when that happened, it was the life insurance companies that bailed people out because they had the resources. I guess it just really just, I guess it was just that final piece that connected all the dots for me. And I'm still kind of, I don't know what the word is, but in shock, maybe in awe, that's really the foundation of what can pull a country out when something like that happens. I guess I didn't realize that, or if I did, I forgot. So it just kind of really
maybe you forgot, but and it took a long time. Remember, we've had these deals happen over the years. I'll have to go back and look to see how many different times it's happened, but each time it took 5 or 6 years for people to get their money back, you know, to get back on stream, and sometimes they never do. It depends who, what they were invested in, you know. Yeah. So I think it's always good, as I said, to be diversified, and then you're not going to be crying in your soup.
Nobody likes to cry in their soup.
No, it's not a good thing to do that. And, you know, we want people to make money. We want them to be wealthy. We want them to be happy and to retire, you know, with good income. Your retirement's going to last a long time. It's going to take a lot of money, folks. You can't retire on $100,000 a year. You can't even retire on $200,000. You know, it takes a lot of money nowadays to live. So we want everybody to have all the money they need. We want them to be able to invest, make interest, and travel, do whatever they need to do. And do it while they're still healthy. Let's talk about this. Let's make some money.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Boxcar Willie. Do you
All
remember Boxcar
right.
Willie?
Yes. Boy.
Boxcar Willie. His real name was Liesl Travis Martin. He was born September 1931. He died in 99. He was, as you know, an American country singer. He was a songwriter. What most people don't know, he enlisted in the Air Force. He was an Air Force flight engineer. He sang the old-time hobo music. You know, he did the dirty face, the overalls, the floppy hat. He originated this character in a ballad he wrote. And then later he adopted it as the stage name. Because he loved it so much. He was born in Ovilla, Texas.
Oh.
He joined the Air Force in May of 49. He was a flight engineer on the B-29 Super Fortress during the Korean War.
Really?
Early 50s, Lincoln, Nebraska. He was once sitting at a railroad crossing, and a fellow that closely resembled his chief boom operator, Willie Wilson, passed by sitting in a boxcar. He said, "There goes Willie." He pulled over and wrote a song entitled "Boxcar Willie."
Really?
Yeah, and it stuck. It became his nickname. And in San Jose, California, he attended the talent show as Boxcar Willie. And he performed under that nickname for the first time. He won a first-place prize of $150 and a nickname that he went by for the rest of his life. But it was his part-time vocation early. I didn't know that. He was still in the Air Force, had been flying all these early missions. And in the 1970s, he was assigned to the 136th Air Refueling Wing of the Texas Air National Guard. He served aboard the Boeing KC-97 Stratofreighter and participated in Operation Creek. He provided critical in-flight refueling services for fighter aircraft in Europe for 10 years.
Wow.
In 1976, he retired from the Air Force, and that's when he became a full-time performer. And one of his first national appearances was a win on Chuck Barris, The Gong Show. I didn't remember that.
Wow. Me neither.
Yeah. And so he started playing, started performing, and he did a series of television commercials for record artists who were obscure in the United States. He went on to become a big star in country music, and in 1981, he achieved a professional landmark for being inducted into the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow.
And he was a U.S. success with his 1980 album, King of the Road.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it reached number 5 in the charts, and he traveled the world with his band. And I didn't remember that he had a band. Did you remember that?
No, I didn't remember a lot of this. This is all practically new.
And his guitar player was Chubby Howard, and he was a radio show host, and he was traveling with him. In 1985, he moved to Branson. And he purchased a theater on Highway 76. In addition to the Boxcar Willie Theater, he opened a museum and owned two motels there. He was the first big star to open in Branson.
Really?
And I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
He was the first big star. I thought, I'm trying to think of the guy's name.
Buck Owens?
Well, Buck Owens was there, and I can't. I'm trying to think of the other guy. This guy had a show on Saturday nights, but I can't think of his name. And I thought he was the first one. He was featured on the season premiere of Tracks Ahead.
Really?
Yeah, and as I said, his band performed with him at the Boxcar Willie Theater. I didn't even know he had a theater in Branson.
Me neither. Wow.
He got leukemia in 1996, and he died in 1999.
Jeez.
He was 67 years old.
I had no idea that, one, he was in the Air Force, and he had a whole nother life before all this.
Yeah, that was his whole career, yeah.
Man, first of all, I'm shocked at that. Second, I didn't realize that he was really the one that got the whole Branson thing started. I didn't even know he had a theater. It's just like all these things. I was just like, wait a minute. I didn't know anything. I guess I thought I did, but I didn't. Man.
Okay, and then they did a major reconstruction on the overpass at Interstate 35 and Farm to Market Road 664 in Red Oak, Texas. And it's also known as Ovilla Road. And they renamed it the Boxcar Willie Memorial Overpass.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And then there's a small park 2 blocks from the National Mall in Washington. And that was renamed to Boxcar Willie Park.
Really?
Yeah. And part of his legacy is being named America's favorite hobo. America's favorite hobo.
That's the best.
and you know, a lot of the songs, I don't know if you remember them. Daddy was a railroad man.
Yeah.
Take Me Home. Mm-hmm. Of course, Last Train to Heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Not the Man I Used to Be.
Mm-hmm.
So he had, and he did Rocky Box, Rockabilly with the Skeletons, Spirit of America, Achy Breaky Heart.
Really?
That was 1996. I didn't know he did that.
I didn't know that either. Like the Billy Ray Cyrus?
I did not know. Yeah, yeah. Achy Breaky Heart, 1996. That was one of his albums.
Huh.
And he performed on J&B Records, Dot Records, Heartland Music, KTEL Records, and Retro Records, is the labels he was on.
Wow. I remember KTEL.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that they used to sell on TV.
And we made memories last, keep on rolling down the line.
Wow. This is, I, not that I spend a lot of time thinking about Boxcar Willie, but it's like, I thought, you know, somewhere in the back of my brain, I thought I knew more than I did, but this is, I'm shocked when you kind of put it all into like one, a bubble like this and put it all in perspective. I'm shocked at all these things that he did. I didn't realize all
and one of his songs was Not on the Bottom Yet. And Luther. Oh, he did Luther.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he did Luther.
Man. I'm blown away that he had a whole nother career before all this.
Yeah. And his song Bad News was number 15 on the charts.
Amazing.
It's amazing. How many records he did that most of us don't even remember that it was him doing it.
I know.
I didn't
know he did.
You know, I did not remember.
Achy Breaky Heart shocks me. I don't know.
Oh, that really put me into shock.
Yeah. And that one was newer. What, 96 you said,
that's
I think?
Right.
It's just like, well, you think I could remember that one, but no, I didn't. Wow. It's like new.
And then I mean, I didn't even know that. And Daddy was a railroad man. My gosh.
Yeah. Man, you had, it's like, you know, you hear these titles and it's just like, huh? Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. And it's just like, man, I just haven't, it's been years since I've heard any of these or even thought about any of them. It's really like blowing the cobwebs off the old tunes, man. I forgot about all these.
Yeah. And you know, he was in the service from 1949 to 1976. And he ranked out as a master sergeant.
Wow. That's almost 25 years, I think, if my math is right.
And can you imagine that the Boxcar Willie stuck after that? And he sat down and penned it right away. Just sat down and wrote it out.
Just right there in one sitting.
Right there.
That's just, it's shocking to me. I didn't even know that's where the name came from.
Yeah.
There goes Willie.
I didn't know all of it, but it's an amazing story, isn't it?
It really is. I'm shocked that, you know, that he was just sitting there and he goes, there goes Willie, and he was going by in a boxcar. I had no idea.
Just going by the boxcar and he said, there goes Willie.
Sat down and wrote a song, and not only was it a song, but it ended up being his stage name. It ended up being like the whole foundation for everything he did after that. Just one simple small thing ended up being the whole cornerstone. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and you know, used to when I would see him on television, he did look like a dadgum hobo. You know what I mean? He had it done so perfectly. You know, I remember that old hat and the guitar. I remember all that. And, you know, he always kind of looked like a real hobo.
Yeah, yeah, who rode the railroad all day.
Yeah, and he made it so good that everybody remembered that, and that was what made him famous.
Yeah, I wonder if that was, if he sat out and said, you know, I'm going to do this, or if... Or if it was like some kind of a big plan, or if it's just kind of like, I like it, so let's just see what happens, and it took off. Was it planned, or was it accident, or somewhere in the middle? I don't know.
I think it was in the middle, because I think when that guy did that, then he loved it so much, he said, you know, I'm going to adopt that.
Yeah. It's just weird. Of all the things you think that you know, you're going to emulate yourself after, probably being a hobo is not one of the first things that comes to people's minds.
Hey, it takes a great guy to go as a hobo, let me tell you something. You got to have a lot of confidence in your ability if you want to be known as a hobo,
yeah.
Let me tell you.
On purpose.
I mean, on purpose, yeah. A lot of people might do it not purposely. But can you imagine have a career in the Air Force and then having another career as a country singer and to become famous?
Yeah. I'm shocked. You know, to be in the Air Force, you've got to look, you know, pretty clean cut.
You have got to be clean cut, or they'll kick you out.
And so to have that much of a contrast is just it's. I think that's partly why I'm so shocked by all of this. It's just, I don't know. It's like completely different ends of the spectrum. It's so strange.
It is, and you know, his music was so great, you know?
Really iconic. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that it's like, man, I know I've got a record, you know, and you know it's a record. You don't have an MP3, you don't have a CD player. You've got a record someplace that has all this on it. It's just like, man, I got to pull that out now. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Now you're gonna have to go back and listen to some of his songs.
Yeah, and I know I've still got them someplace.
Hopefully you haven't thrown them away over the years.
Yeah, I probably should have thrown a lot of them away, but I didn't. So they're still in a pile somewhere. Man, wow. I'm shocked. It's given me a whole new perspective on Boxcar Willie, that's for sure. This is your money with
Faye
Bag.
Do what? We'll have to go back and listen to it now.
I know. It's like every time you pull out, you know, some of these old-time music names, it's like, well, geez, I hadn't even thought about going to pull out an album or listening to anything. But now it's just like, I know what I'm going to do in about 15 minutes. And that's going to have a lot to do with it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Talk for a second about the attitude of people when they're in life settlements, you know, because whether anything's happening or not, you know, people have been doing investing in life insurance policies for years and years and years. They don't have to worry about being up all night checking their portfolio, you know, in the middle of the night, getting up and seeing if they still have anything. It's really one of those things where it seems like a lot of people who invest in life settlements have always just kind of like been real easy about it. It's just I'm in, and then when the policy matures, I get paid, and we'll just invest in other policies. It seems like that's just a very simple thing, but that literally is all there is to it, right? Just sit back and relax.
That is literally all it is. With a policy, we notify you that it is matured, that you're going to get paid. We tell you when it goes to the bank, and then we redo it again. You might have made 24% on the first one. Second one, you might make 18, you might make 12, depending on how many months it is. If it's 12 months, it's 12%. If it's 28 months, it's 28%. It's 1% a month. So you know what you're going to make. When you make it, you just simply redo it every time and do it again.
How long does it take for people to actually start getting really good traction where they sit back and say, you know, we really have started to make a lot of money. How long does that take? Is it like, are we talking about 7 years, 5 years, 10 years, 2 years?
I would think so. Yes, you're not going to make a lot of money in just 2 years, because remember, it may be 24-month policies or 30-month policies. Hmm. So it'll start coming in slowly, and then it'll start building up as that interest builds up over the years. So in 7 to 10 years, you should have quite a bit of money.
You brought up annuities earlier. How where do they fit into the spectrum? I know we talk a lot about life settlements, but annuities, you started to bring those up a little bit more. Are those a good kind of conservative?
They're
safe?
A good, solid, conservative, safe investment. If a person says, I don't want any risk at all, no risk, nada, then you say, okay, nothing is 100%, but they are probably the safest thing in America. You see all these ads on television, don't buy an annuity till you read this. Well, what they're saying is you don't buy an annuity till you send us some data and we'll send you some information and be calling you on the phone. That's what that means. Everybody knows annuities have been around for 150 years.
Wow.
So you know by now, you know how safe they are. They've been here 150 years. Fixed annuities, I think, are very, very safe. I would recommend them any day of the week. The ones we do, the company's worth, you know, $50 billion. They've been in business 100 years. So annuities are usually for people who like CDs. If you like a CD, you'll love an annuity. Annuities pay a lot more than a CD. You could take 10% a year out. If you need to walk away from it, at the end of the term, you can walk away.
Mm.
Some of them make you take a payout even at the end. The companies that we use now do not do that. And then if you pass away, your heirs get 100% of what your annuity's worth. And they can get a check for the full amount when you pass away. So there's just so many good things about annuity. I've never found anything bad about an annuity. They pay good. They send a check. If it's an IRA account, they send you a check every year. You don't have to worry about taking your RMD. They'll handle it. Or if you set it up, say, I want 10% every year, it arrives on that date every year. And I just like everything about annuities.
If somebody's trying to decide, you know, which way to go, if they're trying to say, hey, are annuities right for me or is a life settlement right for me? What's the main difference? What type of, you know, what are the, I guess, when you compare the two, what's the biggest benefit of one versus the other?
Okay. An annuity is very, very conservative. You're not going to make the kind of money you're going to make with a life settlement. But it's just steady. You know what I mean? It's a steady investment all the way through. A life settlement is really for people who have more money. Usually a person that's doing life settlements got $500,000 to $1 million.
But not
usually
with...
other people have got $100,000 to $250,000.
Okay.
Usually the large investors are going to always do life settlements. And they may have listened to us for 4 years or 2 years, but then one day they're going to say, okay, I now have sold my business. I've now left that company. I've got this 401k. I want to put that with Faye. And then we get the call. Faye, I've got $1 million I'd like to put with you. Or I've got $500,000, whatever it is. They'll call and say, I'm ready now.
All right, so you've got investors who have wanted to, they maybe have heard you several years ago talking about life settlements, that I want to do that, I need to build up, I need to, you know, make sure that, you know, we're accredited and all that, and then once they do, then they call you and they say, okay, we're ready to go, we're in a good spot, and that's kind of, that's pretty typical, right? Or maybe not, I don't know.
Yes, I'll get an unexpected call, or I'll get an email, Faye, I'd like to meet with you, I am accredited, this is what I'd like to do. And I always return their call, talk to them about it. We go over what they want to accomplish, and we get it done.
What are the biggest risks? I know we like to cover them every show. What are the biggest risks with a life settlement?
Is it could go over. That's your biggest risk, bar none. Can you stand it going over? Can you stand if you have to wait for your money? If you can't, this is not for you. But we have a that is a small risk, but it's still a risk. So you always need to know that it can go over, and sometimes they do go over. The older policies have gone over more than anything else. we try to make sure that the premiums are not high if it goes over. Then the second risk is it's not liquid during that time. If in the middle of it you suddenly are going broke and need cash, this is not the investment for you, because it's not liquid until it matures.
Okay. And then the third?
The third is if a life insurance company ever went broke. If it went broke, it would take you longer to get your money. But we've not had a life insurance company go broke in years because they're worth so much money.
Yeah. The premium income from those. And then there's the, you know, just is like, I guess, a bonus for, you know, life insurance companies. There's a lot of people that will just abandon their policy, or they'll cancel their policy, and all the premiums that they've been paying in, they're never going to have to pay out. They don't have to refund those. That's just extra, I guess, cash in their bank or reserves or wherever.
That's right. Yes, it is. So, you know, it's I think it's one of the safest investments we have. I like them. I would recommend it to anybody. I would recommend it to my family or anybody else's family.
And finally, you mentioned for a life settlement, you do have to be accredited, and a lot of people will build up their wealth to get to that point. What does it actually mean to be accredited, just for those that don't know?
Okay, you have to make either $200,000 a year in income, or you have to be worth $1 million, and that's without your home. And the government does require you to be accredited to do this investment.
And so for those who are not accredited, it is a good way, I guess, maybe to build up assets to get to that threshold by doing like annuities. You have people that I don't want to speak for you, but you have people that have done this, I think, in the past that have used annuities and other types of investments to build those things up in a conservative kind of way. Once they do, then a lot of them will maybe switch over to life settlements, or maybe they'll keep some annuities, do some life settlements, so they're diversified. That's a realistic plan, right? Or no, maybe not.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Because you can start out with annuities, and then you, as your wealth increases, you can also then start doing life settlements.
Awesome. All right. And obviously, you'll sit down with people, and when new investors come in, you know, you kind of talk about, you know, where they are now, where they want to be, how long they want to be there, kind of look at the whole landscape, figure out their goals, figure out the best way to get them where they want to be so that they can retire happy, wealthy, and really have a really, really good life no matter what happens. And so it's a plan that you put together for people. The first step, though, is for them to come in and talk to you. And so I assume you usually have appointments this coming week available, right?
I do. And I'm always ready to talk to people, you know, see if they're ready, see if this will work for them. But if we will welcome them.
Cool. And finally, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.